Welcome to Beats Radio, your podcast and research channel dedicated to science and engineering. I'm Daniel Ansari, a student in the TMM program at the University of Ottawa, and I'm your host for this special episode. We are excited to bring you this podcast in collaboration with the SciComm TMM 4950 course. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest, Dr. Michele Ardolino, a renowned figure in immunology. Dr. Ardolino is a scientist, researcher, and professor affiliated with the University of Ottawa and the Ottawa Hospital Research Institute. His work delves deep into unraveling the mysteries of our immune system, particularly its complex relationship with cancer. One intriguing question Dr. Ardolino's research tackles is, why don't the killers kill? This theme is central to our discussion as we explore his research on PD-1 inhibition of NK cells via trogocytosis, spotlighting some of his seminal research articles. Without further ado, Dr. Ardolino, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure as well.
To dive right in and give some context to our viewers about your research, may you please provide a brief explanation of the process of trogocytosis and its importance?
Right. It's a still very uncharacterized process. It basically consists in the stealing, if you will, of parts of a membrane from one cell to another. And it occurs very, very frequently, much more than we used to appreciate, when immune cells get in contact with cells they interact with. For example, if a killer lymphocyte get in touch with a cell that they have to kill, then very often before killing or instead of killing, they also steal part of the membrane of the cells that they are trying to kill. The evolutionary reason for why this is happening is not entirely clear. I do have my theory. I think that one of the reasons why this is happening is because immune cells very quickly need to adapt to the environment that they find themselves in when they migrate to a new tissue. And it takes time and energy to produce new proteins in response to environmental clues. And so I think what's happening is that the immune cells start taking away, nibbling parts of the membrane of the cells that are already in that tissue and that have already been preconditioned by that environment to function in that environment so that they can quickly adapt to the new environment that they found themselves in. However, this is just a very pretty theory of mine, and although we are trying to test it, we haven't got a conclusive answer yet.
Thank you for your response. I believe we all now have a better understanding of what trogocytosis is and does. Our next question to you is, why did your team zero in on trogocytosis as a potential mechanism for the intracellular transfer of PD-1 from tumor cells to NK cells? In addition, were other mechanisms considered or explored?
Right. And to be entirely honest, this was entirely out of frustration because we had this nice study that we published a few years ago, and we were showing that PD-1 is in fact on NK cells, this important receptor that suppresses the activation of lymphocytes, is on the surface of this subset of lymphocytes that we like to study in NK cells. But we couldn't find a mechanisms that would lead to the expression of PD-1, to the endogenous expression. So we try to stimulate our cells in many, many different ways to see how they would express PD-1, and they just didn't. We couldn't find it. So we went a little bit more deeply into the literature. We found, thanks to collaborations with some colleagues back in Italy, that in fact the gene for PD-1 in NK cells is extremely closed from the epigenetic standpoint. So it's very hard, even when they are activated, so it's very hard for NK cells to express the protein themselves. And that gave us an hint that maybe NK cells are not really expressing PD-1 themselves, but maybe something else is going on. And so I was lucky enough that when I was a graduate student in Rome, one of my supervisors actually worked on trogocytosis. And so I was familiar, at least I heard, of the process. And so I started wondering, what if what's happening is in fact that in NK cells are trogocytosing, are acquiring PD-1 from the neighboring cells rather than expressing it themselves. And that's what we found. So it's very lucky coincidence there. It was a number of lucky events out of many years of frustration. So, you know, it also shows that hard work sometimes does pay.
Yeah, so kind of like a trial and error. Like it came out of looking at other...
Oh, many trial and errors. Yeah. Many. More than I would like to admit.
Moving on to our next question, your article refers to NK cells having a range of activity levels and functional responsiveness. What is the advantage of having this variability? Specifically, what is the advantage of having cells with lower levels of activity and functional responsiveness?
Right, this is a very nice question, and I'm very passionate about this. You want to always think that, I have this new idea now, that the immune system works as the third law of dynamic, right? If there is an action, then there is another action that is happening the other way around, right?
Yes.
I know it in Italian. I know it very well in Italian. I cannot translate in English very well. It's a matter of forces, right? And that's what that's how the immune system is regulated. So if there is an action of the immune system, that is a activity that, for example, is aimed at clearing pathogens, then there is immediately a negative feedback, immediately, that is prone to make sure that there is no autoimmunity happening. The first thing that the immune system cares about is not clearing pathogens, is preventing autoimmunity, because the immune system is super strong, it's very powerful. And if if immune cells are activated too powerfully and without checks, then the consequences for the organism can be very dire. And this is such an important process that the immune cells are preconditioned even before being activated to be tolerant to the environment that they found themselves in, even when a pathogen or tumors are found in that environment. And so NK cells in particular are tuned to be differentially activated according to some molecular mechanism that we now understand a bit more in details, but probably go beyond the scope of this interview. And the reason why this is important is that you want to have a range of activity against the particular challenge that the NK cells have found. For example, if the challenge is not very strong, then you only have a layer of NK cells responding, right? The ones that are more responsive. If instead, for example, you have a virus that is infecting the body very heavily, then you want to mount a stronger NK cell response. You need many, many NK cells to fight that particular virus that is going. But if the infection is very limited, then you don't need many NK cells to fight that particular infection. And the more NK cells you bring into the bottle, if you will, the more chances are that those are going to also create some damage. And so this fine-tuning of the responsiveness of NK cells provides the body a check for preventing excessive activation of a very powerful tool, the NK cells, that is good for fighting pathogens, but is also dangerous because it could create immune pathology and potentially autoimmunity.
My understanding, the immune system is not as simple as it seems. As you said, NK cells can also have detrimental effects when overexpressed. This gives us an idea of how complex the human body really is. To switch gears slightly, I would like to ask, if you had the world's attention for just a moment, what would you want to convey about the beauty, complexity, and potential of the immune system?
I would like to stress how our studies of the immune system have been focusing mostly on its role on fighting danger, like pathogens or tumors, right? And that's what you probably learn in my class or what you just read from the news. But the reason why this happened is because historically, it was very easy for researchers to study the interactions between the immune cells and pathogens that they have contact. For example, you can take a mouse and you can shoot a virus into the mouse and you study how, you know, things change and you find that the immune system is very important in finding the virus. And so there is a defense-centric, if you will, vision of the immune response, which, however, in recent years has shifted quite dramatically. And that's a field that fascinates me immensely. And is the role that the immune system has in physiological processes that are not tightly linked to defense. For example, the immune system is very important in regulating thermoregulation, right? In regulating the temperature of the body. And that has nothing to do with pathogens. Or for example, fat consumption, or for example, some cognitive processes, some cardiovascular processes, wound healing. We knew for a very long time that the immune system is very important for wound healing, and this again, nothing to do with pathogens. The immune system really is an amazing system that has the power of connecting different bits of the body. It's very responsive to the environment and very quickly reacts to the environment. And its main role is really to feel that there is a homeostatic level of stimuli, and when there is a perturbation to that homeostasis, quickly try to go back to that homeostasis, to the level of homeostasis. And when a pathogen gets in, it's very easy to think, you have to kill the infected cells or produce antibody to prevent viruses to spread and these kind of things. But even different stimuli can induce the immune system to react, and that have nothing to do with pathogens. So that's one thing that fascinated. So I would really would like that even lay persons would now think of the immune system as something more than just an army to fight pathogens, but something that really interconnects every part of the body.
There you have it, listeners. As we now wrap up our deep dive with Dr. Ardolino, we'll be turning up the heat with a rapid-fire round. In this exciting segment, we'll pose questions to our esteemed guest, and he'll have just a few minutes to answer them all. From scientific curiosities to a few lighthearted queries, get ready to hear Dr. Ardolino's swift responses. Our first question to you is, if you were to describe the immune system as an analogy or a metaphor that even a child could understand, what would it be?
Probably be a mailman delivering important messages from one place to the other. And that mailman also carries a very big ass gun because sometimes he has to shoot the bad guys.
Our second question to you is there a widely accepted belief in immunology from the past that has been now completely upended, showing the evolving nature of science?
I think what we are discussing is probably the biggest in
Yeah,
terms of
correct.
misconception for the immune system. It's not just the army, but also something that is important for communicating messages from one part of the body to the other.
Our next question to you is, how has your research affected your personal worldview or philosophy of life?
I think the main thing that happened is that I have been blessed with getting in touch and befriending people from different cultures and beliefs than mine. I grew up in Italy as a Italian guy and went to school there. And it's only when I moved to California that I appreciated and start knowing people from around the world. That's something that has touched me deeply, and I am really grateful for it. Something that I think that would not have happened without my passion for research.
What emerging technology are you most excited about that might not yet be mainstream in immunology, but has the potential to revolutionize the field?
Ah, right. I think we don't still know very well how to profile the metabolism of immune cells when they are in mice or people. We know to do this fairly well when they are outside of the mouse or humans, but not when they're in vivo. And that's very important. And I think if we managed to do that, we would know way, way more than we know right now, and we'd have some very important basic science and translational applicability.
Our final question is, if you could go back in time and talk with any historical figure about your research, who would it be and why?
That's a good one. I have a passion for Napoleon. I would suspect that he wouldn't care about my research very much. I, however, have now got an appreciation for Oppenheimer due to the movie, and I read the book. So I probably would like to talk to him about our work and more in general what he thought about immunology. But I think that the one person I really, really would have liked to speak with is this German philosopher called Popper, who is somebody who is very important in the epistemology field, and he lay the foundation of what I think is the good scientific method of, the fact that you never demonstrate an hypothesis, but you only falsify or corroborate it. And I would love to have a chat with him.
And there you have it, listeners, a deep dive into the world of immunology and the intricate dynamics of our immune system with cancer, guided by the expert insights of Dr. Michele Ardolino. Dr. Ardolino, thank you for sharing your knowledge and passion with us.
Thank you, it was a blast.
Thank you for tuning in. On behalf of our director, Emilio Alicron, and the entire Beats Research Radio team, we extend our gratitude. We wish you well and look forward to having you with us for the next episode. Please note, all copyrights are held by Beats Research Radio and the University of Ottawa.